Osho. Then, the quantum leap from mind to no mind. Talks given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number one.
Beloved Book One, the scholar Rayo of Saizan once had a meeting with Basho, who asked him, "What sutra are you lecturing on?" "The Mind Sutra," he replied. Basho said, "By what do you lecture?" Rayo answered, "With mind." Basho said, "The mind is like an actor, the meaning like a jester, the six senses like an acquaintance. How can the mind be able to lecture on a sutra?" Rio retorted, "If mind cannot lecture, can't no mind?" Basho replied, "Yes, no mind can lecture, all right." Rio dusted his sleeve and began to take his departure. Basho called to him and said, "Professor?" Rio turned his head. Basho said, "From birth to death, this is how it is." Rio had a great awakening and bowed in respect to Basho. Basho said, "What on earth are you bowing for, nitwit?" Rio's whole body was now running with sweat. Going back to his temple, Rio said to the monk, "I thought it could be said that all my life no one could lecture better than I on the sutras. Today, a question by Basho dissolves the ice of a lifetime." Rio gave up his lectures and retired far into the western mountains and was heard of no more. On another occasion, Basho said to the assembled monks, "Believe that each and all of you has the mind which is the Buddha. The rumor came from India to the Middle Kingdom to enlighten you with the truth he conveyed of the Mahayana one mind." A monk spoke up and said, "Why do you teach the mind is the Buddha?" Basho said, "To stop the baby crying." The monk said, "And when the baby stops crying?" Basho said, "Mind is not the Buddha." The monk said, "Besides this, is there something more?" Basho replied, "I will tell you, it is not something."
It is the beginning of the beginningless existential festival. Then is festive. It is not scholarly it condenses its colors as deeply as possible. Because the color represents the refined mind, cultured mind, the borrowed knowledge, the dead scripture. The scholar is a grave. Zen is a living rose of flowers. Nothing in it is dead. It is always and always. It goes on from beginningless to endless. Characters change, leaves fall from the tree, new leaves start growing. The old ones disappear, the new ones arise. It is a constant change, but in the very essence, nothing changes. Only on the periphery. Only on the circumference, but never on the center. And the center is there. I am happy to begin this series of talks on an anecdote about Basu. He is one of my beloved ones. The scholar Rio of Pisan once had a meeting with Vasu. Who asked him, "What sutra are you lecturing on?" The poor scholar was not aware that he has entered into the den of a lion. Entering into it is easy, but getting out of it is impossible. Getting into the hands of Basu, you have already committed suicide. Basu was such a sword-like sharp master. He killed people this way and that. And brought hundreds of people to enlightenment. This poor scholar does not know that once meeting Basu is meeting your death. That's how the ancients have defined the function of a master. It is not to teach you, but to kill you. It is not to impart knowledge to you, but simply take away all knowledge from you. Even the very sense of I has to disappear. The scholar was not aware that once meeting Vaso is enough, twice will be too much. He asked him, "What sutra are you lecturing on?" The mind sutra. Vaso replied, "By what do you lecture? Rio answered with mind." Vaso said, "The mind is like an ether. The meaning like a gesture. The six senses like an acquaintances. How can the mind be able to lecture on a sutra? Mind cannot speak not even it can indicate a single finger to the ultimate. All that mind is doing is its control, relevant gibberish, on the surface looking very silent, inside a madhouse. This madhouse cannot say a single word about the truth. It knows nothing. Although it plays the game as if it knows, Rio retarded, if mind cannot lecture, can't no mind? Just a logical, intellectual question. Not authentic, not coming from one's own experience, but simply because Vaso says mind cannot speak on the truth, logically it can be asked, do you think then no mind can speak? Vaso replied, yes. No mind can lecture all right. Rio dusted his sleeve and began to take his departure. Vaso called to him and said, "Professor, Rio turned his head." Vaso said, "From birth to death, this is how it is. The no mind. Mind continuously changes. A child's mind is one thing. A young man's mind is another thing. A mature, middle-aged mind is another thing. The mind of an old man is another thing. The mind is constantly accumulating, changing viewpoints. Ideologies, religions, it is not much trustworthy. It cannot be relied upon. Today it may be a communist and tomorrow may turn against communism. Today it may be atheist, tomorrow it may become a theist. Mind is just hot air. As polluted as Pune. No mind is your unpolluted nature from the beginning to the end. Basu is saying, from birth to death, this is how it is. No mind is continuously singing its song whether you hear or not. Its music is there whether you hear it or not. Its dance is there, of course your eyes cannot see. It is eternal dance. Rio had a great awakening and bowed in respect to Basu. Basu said, what on earth are you bowing for, nitwit? Rio's whole body was now running with sweat. Going back to his temple, Rio said to the monk, I thought I could be said that all my life no one could lecture better than I on the sutras. Today I question by Basu. Dissolve the ice of a lifetime. Rio gave up his lectureship and retired far into the western mountains and was heard no more. Meeting with a man like Basu is dangerous. It is not without reason that I am called the most dangerous man of this century. I am. Meeting me once you will disappear. You will not be heard anymore, you will not be seen again. One meeting is enough. On another occasion, Basu said to the assembled monks, "Believe that from each and all of you have the mind which is the Buddha." Bodhidharma came from India to the Middle Kingdom to enlighten you with the truth he conveyed of one mind, of this moment of suchness. A monk spoke up and said, "Why do you teach the mind is the Buddha? Basu said, "To stop the baby crying. All the enlightened ones have been speaking just for the sake so that the baby does not start crying. Console. Babysitting is the basic business of all Buddhas. The moment the baby grows, at the right time they are going to strike the baby. The real teaching will start only when you are mature enough, centered enough, receptive enough, aware enough. No Buddha is going to waste a single hit. He will wait and console the baby. And once the baby is consoled, the whole approach of the Buddha changes. He does not speak in terms of the mind anymore. The mind is the most childish thing in the world. Once the master has helped you to detach your consciousness from your mind, the real teaching is very simple. No mind is the Buddha. Your ego is your immaturity, your egolessness is your awakening. Just die to this moment deep enough so that you can have a resurrection. Then you will know no mind is the Buddha. And it has been always so. But to those who cannot understand, the compassionate one had been saying to them that the mind is the Buddha. It is just out of compassion to keep you not crying, because if you are not mature enough, and it is said that you are not at all, you are just a soap bubble inside, is nothingness, and that is your nature, it can drive the retarded one's crazy. The physician knows perfectly well in what quantity the medicine has to be given, at what time the disciple needs the ultimate hit so that he disappears, leaving behind him just a pure space. Out of that pure space, everything blossoms, and into that pure space, everything disappears. That pure space is your being. And the monk said, and when the baby stops crying, Vasu said, mind is not the Buddha. The monk said, besides this, is there something more? Vasu replied, I will tell you, it is not something. This no mind, this pure silence is not a thing. It is not something. It is the very life, the very consciousness, the very blissfulness, the eternal being. It is not a thing. Manisha has asked, beloved Bhagwan, the other evening I heard you say that intuition and enlightenment are not different. Is that because both are of no mind? And does that mean that when intuition is working within us, we are having a small taste of enlightenment? Manisha, in your simple question, you have raised many questions. First, the other evening never happened. the past is past. How many times I have to remind you, there has been no other evening than this, and there will be no other evening than this. Rather than being here, you are worried about that you heard me say that intuition and enlightenment are different. Are not different. Is that because both are no mind? I want you all, not only Manisha, to understand that it is not the assembly of philosophical theological inquirers. This is the meeting of the Buddha. As far as your innermost self is concerned, you can give it any name, intuition. What that word means? It means knowing from within. We understand perfectly what tuition means, what tutor means. Knowledge coming from outside, a teacher, a tutor, a professor, all they are doing is tuition. Intuition is that which arises within you. It is your very being. You can call it enlightenment. You can give it any name, it does not matter. Names don't matter in this world of real existence. And then finally you are asking, and does that mean that when intuition is working within us, no, Manisha, intuition is never working. It is simply there. What is working is always mind. What is always at rest, not working, is you. Your center is beyond working, not working. It simply is. It is a different language to understand. It does nothing. So when you think your intuition is working, you are being befooled by your mind. Don't be befooled by the mind. Remember that intuition is it does not work. It is a presence, an awareness. That's why I have called they are both. Two names of one experience. Intuition, enlightenment, awakening, Buddhahood. Just names of the same unmoving centers you cannot have Manisa, just a taste of it. Either you have it whole or you don't have it. It is indivisible. This gives me the chance to explain to you the meaning of individual. No dictionary, no encyclopedia will help. For then, it will be very far-fetched to connect individual with indivisibility. That which cannot be divided. And if it cannot be divided, you cannot have a taste of it. You will have either to have it or decide to remain in ignorance, but you cannot say, I have got a little bit of enlightenment. That way it does not work. You cannot say, I am partially enlightened. Be totally. And what name you give to that totality of your being is up to you. For the moment I have chosen the word enlightenment because it has the quality of dispelling all darkness, misery, anguish, negativity. It brings you to your positive being. It brings to your very heart saying yes with every beat to the universe surrounding you. But it is not Manisa possible to have a partial experience. Just look at this way. Can you say to someone, I am partially in love with you? Just 30%. I will try a little more, but for the moment I am 1/3 of my being in love with you. If you say this to anybody, he or she will think somebody has escaped from the madhouse. Even love cannot be divided. That's why love has always been taken as an example of enlightenment. The only thing that is similar in both is they are indivisible. But we are all living partial lives. Partially we love. Obviously it is going to be very pseudo, very superficial, very unreal and false, a deception and nothing more. We are meditating partially. But these things don't happen that way. Nature does not allow these great experiences in part. Nature is not America. You cannot have things on installments. This American idea of installment is absolutely against existence. Why not have it whole when it is available? You can cut things into pieces, but not beings into pieces. Beings will be dead if you cut them into pieces. This is one of the most difficult problems before scientific minds, because it is accustomed in dissecting. Everything has to be dissected. Only then science can accept its existence. And the consciousness of man cannot be dissected. Hence the science continues denying there is any being, any immortal consciousness in man. It is really hilarious. Everything is in the lab of the scientist except the scientist himself. He is not there. He cannot accept unless he puts himself on the table and dissects and sees all its qualities, possibilities, inquires into every part, puts them apart, joins them again, and see what happens. Literally, if you cut a living being and then join it together again, you will have a scarf in your hand, the life would have disappeared. It happens, Charles Darwin was celebrating his 60th birthday with his friends, and the children of his neighborhood, he was very friendly with children, with animals, with birds, with trees. That was his lifelong work, to inquire into the evolution. Anything that grows, he was interested in it. Although he was an old man, he was very friendly with his small children. All the children decided what we should bring as a present on his birthday. The birthday is coming soon. And what we can present to the world famous scientist. And there will be precious presents from many corners. What we can do, and he is such a great friend to us, something has to be done, and they did something. They got hold of many insects, frogs, fish, grasshoppers, all kinds, whatever they could manage, and they cut them to create a new being. The head was of a frog and the leg of a grasshopper. They were very happy that for the first time Charles Darwin will be surprised, because his whole life he has been working with insects, animals, their growth, evolution. Let us see what he says about this insect. Amongst great scientists who had gathered to celebrate, the children came with their creation. They asked Charles Darwin, "Do you know this insect?" Even Charles Darwin for a moment could not believe his eyes. He has roamed all over the world, finding all kinds of species. He has never seen this, and these children of his neighborhood, where they have found it? He looked closely. The children said, "Can you tell us the name?" He said, "Yes. Its name is Hocus Pocus." Anything partial is going to be Hocus Pocus. Totality is the language to be learned here. to bring you to this moment, I try every device. Because this moment is your no mind. The circus crowd is tense and silent as Charlie the crocodile trainer cracks his whip. The crocodile opens its mouth, the crowd gasps as Charlie rolls up his sleeve and puts his arm inside the huge mouth. Charlie cracks his whip again and the crowd shuts his mouth with terrific force, but it stops an inch from Charlie's bare arm. The crowd is ecstatic. Then the crowd opens its huge mouth again. The white teeth glinting in the spotlight, this time Charlie pulls out his prick and puts it in the crack's waiting mouth. There is deathly silence, and Charlie cracks his whip. Quick as a flash, the crack shuts its mouth, but it stops an inch from Charlie's prick. Then he picks up a huge wooden hammer and bangs it hard on the crack's head. But still he won't bite. Charlie takes a bow and then says, "Would anyone from the audience like to give it a try?" A little old lady jumps up and runs into the ring. Me, she cries, "But please don't hit me so hard." Giovanni tells his friend Zebrisky that he passed his American citizenship test by writing all the answers on the elastic of his underpants. Zebrisky borrows Giovanni's underpants and goes for the interview. The examiner asks Zebrisky the first question, "How many states are there in America?" Zebrisky pretends that he is thinking. He turns around in his chair and sneaks a look inside the waistband of his pants, 34. He answered, The examiner thinks that this poor man must be nervous. So he asks another question, what is the color of the American flag? Zebritsky turns away and checks his shirt again, green and purple. He replies, the examiner decides to give him one last chance. Who was the first president of America? He asked. Zebritsky looks over his shoulder and stretches the elastic of his underpants. Then he looks up and proudly proclaims, Calvin Klein. Paddy walks into his local pub one evening and sees a smart traveling salesman leaning against the bar. He is impressed by the man's impeccable clothes, but what really catches his eye is the guy's beautiful red shoes. So Paddy walks up to him and says, I really love your shoes. What kind are they? They are crocodile shoes, replies the salesman. Paddy had never heard of crocodiles, but not wanting to show his ignorance, he says, thanks, and then goes and asks Sam, the bartender, what a crocodile is. It is a big, ferocious animal that lives in the Amazon jungle in Brazil, replies Sam. Paddy has fallen in love with those shoes, and when Paddy falls in love, he will stop at nothing. So the next day he sells his old Ford car and buys a ticket to Brazil. 2 days later, he has hired a local guide and is paddling up the river in a small boat in search of a crocodile. A week later, and deep in the jungle, the guide suddenly shouts, look, Mr. Murphy, a crocodile. Paddy grabs his huge knife and leaps into the river. A terrible fight follows, which is almost Paddy's last. But eventually, he kills the beast and drags it into the boat. Exhausted and bloody, Paddy triumphantly turns the crocodile onto its back and then it stares in amazement. Shit, he cries, it has got no shoes on. Meditation is throwing out all your craziness out. it is a simple method if you are not a coward, if you are not a gentleman, it simply means gibberish. It speaks any language that you don't know. Or make sound, but don't sit there like a Buddha. That stage comes later. Aroop, first beat. Utterly silent. Close your eyes and just be in it. Deeper and deeper total and total just be the Buddha. This is your very nature. Aroop, give the second beat. Relax. Relax so deeply as if you are dead. Let the body breathe. But you go on entering deeper and deeper within yourself. this is its no word can say it. No mind can explain it, but it is deep inside you already present. A roof gives the beast, come out of your grave, back to life, to resurrection. Fresh, silent, innocent. Okay, Manisha?
Yes, Prabhupada.
Can we celebrate now?